I will share.
There she is. She's having troubles.
Yes.
Oh, there we go.
All right. Good evening, everybody. My name is T.L.B. Smith. I'm the chair of the Lawrence Cultural Arts Commission, and this is our regular meeting on April 10th. It is 7:39, and I will start things off, as I always do, by tossing it over to Porter to give a spiel about meeting participation.
Thank you, Daniel. Just a reminder, this meeting is being recorded and broadcast on the city's YouTube channel and cable channel 25. Ask people to mute themselves unless they're speaking. The chat function for this public meeting is disabled, and all chats will go to me. I don't think we have so many people I have to worry about the video piece, but the city does reserve the right to mute people or turn individual videos off to minimize distractions during the meeting. And I will kick it back to Daniel.
Great. Thank you, Porter.
I don't rehearse that, believe it or not.
It looks like we have a full house, but I will start things off with a roll call to confirm that, starting with Marlo.
Present.
And then Dina.
Present.
And then Marciana.
Present.
Thank you. And then Rebecca.
Present.
And then Jill.
Present.
And then Tim.
Present.
And Alicia.
Present.
And Brooke.
Present.
And Beverly.
Present.
And then I'm also present, meaning, yes, we have all of our members here. Pretty exciting. Moving on to actual business. We are looking to approve the meeting minutes from March 13th. If anybody had a chance to read over them, has any issues, or would like to make a motion to approve them, now is the time to do so.
This is Brooke. I move to approve the minutes from last meeting.
All right, great.
March 13th.
Can I get a second?
This is Rebecca. I'll second.
Thank you, Rebecca. We will now move to approve the minutes from March 13th, beginning with Marlo.
Great.
And then Dina.
Approve.
Marciana?
Approve.
And Rebecca?
Approve.
Jill?
Approve.
Tim?
Approve.
Alicia?
Approve.
Brooke?
Approve.
And Beverly?
Approve.
And I will also approve. The March 13th meeting minutes will pass approval unanimously. And then we will get to the most exciting part of the meeting, public comment. I'm just kidding. It hasn't been that exciting for a while. I don't think we have anybody here in the room, and it doesn't look like we have anybody online, but if you're hiding behind a chair or something, raise your hand or shout out, and we will make time to hear your public comment. Hearing none, we can move into new business. Our new business section of the agenda is very sparse. We actually have nothing in new business.
That's true.
We do have a decent amount of old business. So we will move through to old business. And Porter, looks like we have an update on the Lawrence Music Census as the first item in old business. So let's hear what's going on. I filled it out, so hopefully a lot of other people have as well.
Yeah, thank you all for your help. It really went well. We did extend it, and it ended last Friday. We got 826 responses.
Yes.
Very happy about that. Mm-hmm. So that worked out really well. And that last push really made a difference. So really appreciate everybody's help on that and if you responded. So the next step is the music census folks that we're working with will be exporting all that information and beginning the analysis on the data. And then their next step is to get back to us for kind of a sneak peek preview for discussion of the key points for the first week in May before we start putting together a campaign to make the information public and certainly bring it back to you all for a presentation. So I'm really excited and very curious as to what we're gonna learn from all this, but I think it's a really great thing, so.
And we are planning at the Free State Festival doing a music census reveal as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes. Sorry, I forgot about
that. I'm really excited
for that. You guys are doing so great picking all this stuff up.
Mm-hmm. Absorbing.
Yeah, that's great. So yeah, detailed census. Yeah,
I mean you could tell that a fair amount of thought went into it.
Yeah, the people that are doing this, you know, the music census people, and Don is the main guy on that. He's done a lot of this work, and so he's very confident that it'll really give us a lot of insight as to what's really going on in Lawrence, which is great.
All right, great. Well, if anybody has any other questions about the music census or comments, now is the time. But if not, we can keep moving through the agenda. God, I'm so tempted to say it. I say it every time. This might be the rare short meeting, but I know I jinx us by when I say it. I do it every time, though. But I feel it this time. Up next on Under Old Business, we have an update on the ODSE, Outdoor Sculpture Exhibition, also sort of known as the Annual Temporary Public Art Exhibition, and a sort of transition with the name there. So where are we at with our ODSE / annual?
All the artists have received their agreements, and we're as they come in, I'm getting submitted, so everybody's getting paid. That's a process because it has to come back to us. We have to get it signed, and then it has to go onto a city commission agenda for a claim. So we have to try to get all those things lined up, but we're getting there. And so I'm actually just getting to the point of curating the exhibit, looking at what's out there. One thing I think I may do and I want to check this out with everybody, you know, historically we've said that the last year's participants need to take their stuff home. But as you've seen after COVID and stuff, there's been a few that they were okay leaving it out. We haven't spent any more money. I know as an ex-sculptor that it's silly to have my work in a studio hidden away if I can put it out somewhere for exhibition if I'm comfortable. So like Tim O'Brien's piece out in front of the Phoenix, I saw kids playing with that the other day, and it was really great. I know that Miles wants to take his piece from down so he can put his new piece in, but I guess his piece here has been vandalized a couple of times. Mm-hmm. He just told me that. I didn't realize that somebody broke the sphere on that. But he's okay with it, and we'll get that taken care of. So anyway, to that point, what I may do is look at options first of existing open space and then give the offer to artists, like, if you want to leave your piece, you can. You know, we can't give you any more money, but that's up to you. And a lot of them will have other opportunities to show them. I won't make it too busy, but I think it's kind of fun that there's a lot of stuff out there. And because Suzanne Hampton's going to be doing her artwork out at Prairie Park Nature Center in the park area, they're actually working on a, an education pavilion, KU Architecture School. It's just going to be really cool. And so as part of that, she's going to do her ephemeral artworks out of clay. Hand-dug clay from out in the site and stuff. So there's some really good stuff going on. So anyway, everything's going well. We're geared up for May 31st, final Friday. Visitor Center is more than happy to host us for that. So mark your calendars for 5:30 on Friday, and hopefully the weather cooperates with us, and we just have a fun night going out and seeing all that good stuff.
So.
I have a question, Porter. This is Dina Amont. Do we still have an outstanding situation with that, I want to say, seventh artist, extra artist that we, I don't remember if that got resolved yet.
It did get resolved. So I met with our horticulturalist, easy for me to say, and he's okay with figuring out how to do this in a way that we can protect her artwork, but also make sure they stay sound in the trees. And so with his, you know, he was really like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. So I reached out to her, and she was on board, and she just got me her agreement back. So we're going to plan on doing that.
So we have seven. Instead of six.
Right.
Great.
Yeah. Thanks for asking. I forgot about that. I've been working with her. I'm excited for that because I think it's going to be. So these are the sailing ships, which are sculptural ships that will hang in the trees, and they have basically wind chimes on them. So as you walk through, they'll be moving and really, hopefully, I think, create a really unique environment. And again, breaking that pattern of sculpture has to be sculpture on the ground, so to speak, which I'm really happy about, in addition to the piece out at the piece says she's going to make more than one out of Prairie Park Nature Center. So
is Prairie Park the location for that piece too? Is that the location for the wind chime piece?
No. I think we're looking at Buford Park. We really need to see these to really understand.
Yeah, gotcha.
But the horticulturalist, Tyler Fike is his name.
He's
really great. He has a few thoughts on possible locations, and he's even game to maybe move them around over the course of the year. So that
that's
could be
exciting.
Kind of fun, too.
Yeah.
What's his last name?
Fike.
Oh, okay. I thought you said ficus, and I thought, well, that would be really way too convenient.
You should change it.
Awesome.
DMV Smith, I know you mentioned you kind of were looking to maybe see how people felt about retaining some sculptures from previous years as like a shift in how the ODSC is run. And for me, and I think other people should definitely weigh in, for me, it seems like a positive thing. The ones, especially, I mean, you mentioned the spinning prayer bead, which is very popular. I mean, a lot of them are very popular. And to me, I'm a little bit of a maximalist. And I think that the more that people see this stuff out in the community, the more they're constantly reminded of public art and art in general. I'm definitely in favor of letting people, if people want to leave their piece, you know, I know there's a limited number of locations that are sort of where things have been located. But I mean, if it gets to the point where we need to establish some new locations, to me, that just seems like a positive shift of more art in the community. So I don't know how other people feel about that, though.
This is Dina. I totally agree. Yeah.
I mean, we could get to a point where we have like a rehome program. You know, I mean, people want to establish a space for public art. That might be a great way to, you know, distribute it further through the community.
Well, we're talking about the Loop.
Yeah.
And, you know, now that I'm with Parks and Rec looking at parks and, you know, so yes, this is just natural sort of step forward in the right direction. I totally agree and appreciate the support. I think it's fun and more people, also with the parklets, you know, it's kind of nice that some of these pieces are really nice accents with the parklets and that kind of thing. So thanks.
My only question would be during, I don't know how, for the people that are keeping their pieces there another year, are they, what if they have another show?
Oh, no.
Okay, I would think, I just didn't know if it was specific that next year they hold to that, because what if it was in a dominant spot and then it needs to move? Would that be
after COVID? Okay. I worked with some artists and just said, you know, because one guy said, well, I think I'm going to sell the piece, and I was like, as soon as you know that, come and get it, no problem.
But I didn't know if it was
in
held
the meantime, you're welcome to leave it here. And it ended up staying longer than expected. So yeah, but we're not locking them into any agreement. They can come and take their piece back anytime. And you're right, several people exhibit in other temporary programs, so they may be taking them regardless.
How do we?
All right, great. Well, hearing no more discussion, we can move on to our third item in old business, which is an update on the Parks, Recreation, Arts, and Culture Comprehensive Plan. I know there was a meeting recently. I know some people were able to attend or view it after the fact. So
let me do this real quick. I want to make sure you guys are all familiar. Hang on, I'm going to do this. So I'm going to go to the city's main page, and here is community engagement with the kids in the Art to Go Parade. You go to community engagement, you scroll down. These are all the different community engagements going on in the city. You find the nice yellow butterfly, and you click on that. And that is the community engagement page for our comprehensive plan. So everything is here, background, information about the consultants, upcoming community engagement opportunities, which the open house is now scheduled for Thursday, May 23rd. Out at Sports Pavilion Lawrence. We rescheduled that so that Luis Ruiz, after he starts on May 13th, will be able to participate in that. We are kind of pulling the reins back on the whole comp plan to allow him time to really get involved in this and put in his, you know, perspective on things as well. So that's happening. And then there's the whole history going all the way back to the release in May last year about the steering committee all the way up to present. The steering committee met last week on April 4th. They are beginning to fill out their implementation matrix. That's what I want to bring to your attention. You can actually watch the video here if you want to. The two matrices that they offered were the arts and culture matrix and the parks and facilities matrix. It's kind of helpful to go through like the parks and facilities because these are only two of, I think, six different matrices. There's a lot, and the parks and facilities is an eye-opener. But the good news is the arts and culture one is not quite so deep, but I wanted to bring it to you all and encourage you all to look at it in your free time so you have a sense of what's going on. I'm not sure how I can get line.
Porter, can I ask? This is Tim. So who's filling out the arts and culture matrix?
The Arts and Culture Consultant Group. So how this has all come to be is they've done all this community engagement work, and all of that is on the page. They did, I think, 30 individual interviews, held several community engagement meetings. They've been involved in the public process. in addition to the other team as well. So this is all based on what they've heard and from their perspective, what makes sense for Lawrence at this point. So this is not, you know, this is the key points that they derived from all this. This is meant to be sort of a living document too. I want to be clear on that, so that we would revisit this annually, see what's working, what isn't working, that type of thing. So it's not like it's written in stone per se, but it's certainly setting the bar for where we want to go, especially as we bring arts and culture formally into parks, recreation, arts and culture.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, I
No, good question. I'm glad you asked. So I'm sharing this on Zoom. Sorry, I wish I could get rid of, I don't want this.
The little hamburger.
Three lines, top left.
That was easy. Thank you, voice from beyond. All right. So I'm just going to go through them real quick. So one was strengthen the presence of the indigenous community within the city through arts and culture collaborations. We're about to sign an MOU with Haskell Indian Nations University on an internship program at Prairie Park Nature Center. So it's already kind of happening, but this is really speaking it out and saying we really should be proactive in doing this. Formalize the Lawrence Public Art Program by advancing the thrice reaffirmed resolution, which was initially passed in 1986, to an ordinance and implementing the supplemental public art policy. So they've drafted an ordinance and a supplemental policy that they're recommending the City Commission accept. That would also create a public art fund, which then sets the money aside specifically for public art. And that is more than just art per se. It could be like event spaces or performing spaces, that type of thing. So there's some leeway on how that can be, but it's all to benefit the arts ultimately.
Is the draft ordinance online?
Not yet.
Okay.
Because it's not ready to be, you know, reviewed per se. So they're working on that too, getting it all finalized. Formalize collaborative relationships with the Lawrence Arts Center, Theodore Lawrence, and the Watkins Museum of History and or the Public Library as cultural programming partners of the Parks, Recreation, Arts, and Culture Department. Those entities were called out in the progress indicators, so that's why we've picked those entities. That could change over time, but right now those are the ones that we're deriving information and using data to support our relationship. And I think what's happened is we've done things together, but they haven't really been formalized. So getting more formalized so that nobody feels like anybody's potentially stepping on each other's toes, that kind of thing. So just being more mindful about relationships in that sense. Continuing providing and further improving grants to help support arts and culture creators and encourage collaborations with the city and creating arts and culture in Lawrence. So that's something that you all are working on. TGT, I'm not sure where that's going and how that's gonna play out, but we'll see what happens with that. Develop additional signature city events in Lawrence. We're actually doing Summerfest again. That's becoming an event. There's a lot of interest in increasing cultural events related to our equity and inclusion. And I know that there are some smaller ethnic events. So we're looking at, is it time to create a bigger, you know, there used to be a, something of cultures. Thank you, voice from beyond. There used to be a festival of cultures, and sadly that's waned, but that might be something that would be of interest, you know, to bring everybody together. So we're looking at those possibilities.
So is that aspirational? Okay, because I was just kind of wondering what their definition of signature might be, but they probably are not that far down the road to how would you define what a signature event is?
I think like, you know, certain events are very well known. Free State Festival, Art in the Park has been going on since 1964. So it's a loose definition, but, you know, events that the city really sort of expects. And so getting to that level of, you know, creating a signature event that's city sponsored, because we don't do Free State, but we help support them. Right. But the city itself isn't doing those events. So that's what they're saying, is the city should jump in the event game a little bigger.
Yeah. Okay.
And that was actually the survey results, which are also on here, was very indicative that people want more events. This town loves events. work with the community to explore adding a new monument or public artwork at Robinson Park as part of the public art plan. That's part of that policy. So that's the park right over here where Injuju Waho Bay was moved out of, and maybe looking at something there. Not necessarily locked there, because that's not a great sitting park because it's in the middle of all that traffic, but something to talk about. And I know there was some interest from the community on that as well. Execute a market study for the building of an outdoor event space / amphitheater to understand the community demand for programming types that would be successful in Lawrence. So not just jumping in and saying, we're going to build an amphitheater, but really doing a market study to learn what's the best circumstance with that without competing with any other entities, but creating something that everybody can really enjoy from the arts and culture side and something that can be programmed year in and year out. To increase the city's creative capital, work with the Affordable Housing Office and Advisory Board to explore possibilities for affordable housing in Lawrence for artists. There's some really amazing affordable housing models specifically for artists. One is called Art Place, and they basically, if you you work with them to develop a plan, and if they agree that it's a viable plan, they actually come in and fund the whole project. They go out and seek the funding. They run the project. They actually manage it. It's pretty amazing. Mm. So that's something I think could be really interesting, particularly with relationships with, you know, Johnson County and Kansas City as an opportunity. This is just to explore it and see if that's viable. Explore developing the historic Grover Barn building into an art and culture site. So are you all familiar with the Grover Barn? Okay. Out off of Clinton Parkway, just north of Holcomb Park.
Lawrence Avenue. Right?
So, right.
Yeah.
Is it fire station?
Mm-hmm.
The fire station was built out of an old barn, an old farm barn. The Grovers owned it. And it is documented that it was a stop on the Underground Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And so for better or for worse, the barn was turned into a fire station. And that means it's been built out and stuff. It used to be the studio of... Sorry, it completely slipped my mind. He worked with Eldon Taft at KU.
Yep.
Paco?
Pac.
Anyway, so it was a studio when it was a barn, then it got turned into a fire station. It's a paradox. On one hand, I wish it hadn't gotten turned into a fire station, but because it did get turned into a fire station, it probably saved the barn. But now as a visitation site for somebody interested in the Underground Railroad, it just doesn't really work, and it's not ADA accessible.
Mm.
But it has a big bay space that could potentially be turned into office space, event space, that type of thing. So again, exploring this as a possibility to save that incredible remnant of a, you know, hard time in Lawrence would be really interesting. So if anybody ever wants to see it, I'd be happy to go out there. As part of the public art plan, enhance city entrances with large landmark art pieces. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, when people come to Lawrence, really making us unmistakable. So you know you're in Lawrence. We will be putting logos and stuff on the bridges now. We've been working with KDOT. But could you add other visual elements to really say you're in Lawrence? Develop a sculpture garden in the Rotary Arboretum. This came up with the park staff, which I really think is a wonderful idea. If you haven't been out to the Arboretum, it's really beautiful, and to add art and make it an art park would really be fun. And develop a menu of collaborative special events to include cultural events that celebrate the diversity of the Lawrence community, which we are committed to as well. But that's, again, looking into that specifically as a diversity issue. So those are what's there now. Certainly open to feedback. This is still in draft form. It will be fleshed out further, as you can see, too. So it designates who's responsible, the cost and impact, and then the level of priority and timeline, and then the performance measure related to the strategic plan. So all this is getting fleshed out as we go on, but definitely want you all to see this. And if you have comments, you can email them to me. Let me know if you know, are we missing something? Do we need to tweak these? That type of thing.
Could you go down to the grant one so I could see the priority level for the grant program? Because I'm thinking like individual artists, the arts community, where are we most going to be impacted by these? And I would say that grants program, because, you know, I believe it'd be great for the city to do their own events, but I do believe, like, that staffing involved to do those is an investment of city funds.
Right.
It really takes a committed person to program those things. And those events that we received grants for that we couldn't fund this last cycle, that feels like it's a priority one to me.
Okay.
Out of everything that I've heard, I'm like, that's going to make the biggest impact on our arts community.
Okay. Thanks a minute.
That's good.
You can slip him back.
Yeah, that's a great point. It could be that simple, just adjusting what you see here.
Did the Arboretum Sculpture Garden have a priority level, or was that one that didn't have
I don't think we got yet. That far. We added some of these as we went along, so these are new things. I don't think that's a high priority. That would be over a long period of time and as funds are available.
Got it. I like that idea, too.
Any questions? Again, you can access this online, real easy to find. And please let me know if you have thoughts on this.
DLB Smith, I mean, I will say, I mean, I'm interested to look at the specifics of it and the priority levels and stuff later, but overall, it kind of just reads like a laundry list of all the things that, you know, this group has been talking about wanting to see for years now. So it's nice to see them all kind of put into this matrix, and hopefully that is a step towards them becoming realities. There's definitely some things on there which have been, you know, recurring topics over and over, things that we'd like to see. So I'm pretty happy with what's on there. As someone who did not tune in and watch the most recent meeting, I feel like it seems like we have a decent voice in the room if this is the sort of stuff that's coming out of those. So,
yes, and I will say Mary attended this meeting, and you sent a good benevolent warrior.
Does anybody else have any other questions or comments? Would you do us a favor and send us like obviously we could navigate the website and find it, but could you send us like a direct link to the
Yes.
the matrix, just to make it easy for us all.
Yep. Thanks.
Great. Yeah. Thank you, Porter, for sharing that update. That takes us out of old business and to committee updates. The first committee update is the Grants and Advocacy Committee, which I can attest did meet very recently. And I think we've discussed some of the issues or some of the changes with the grant submission guidelines and some other, sort of reviewed how we feel like the most recent community arts grant cycle went. And so I don't know if a member of the community arts grants subcommittee wants to volunteer to summarize that other than me, but if not, I will. I'm there. Okay. One thing that we reviewed was there was some added language around equity, not just language in the grant submission form, but also some criteria added to ranking submissions around equity. And we all thought it was great, and honestly kind of feel like it should have been there to begin with. So that was our main takeaway there. The thing that we spent more of our time discussing was actually the mini grants. So this past year, for those of you who are new, this past year we decided to add some mini grants to the community arts grants process because we felt like some of the folks who were coming in looking for smaller amounts were kind of getting pushed out of the process by people who had more ambitious proposals. And we all agreed that we thought that was a great addition to the process, but also heard from some of the folks involved in administering the pass-through aspect of the mini grants that might have ended up being a little bit arduous. So we don't have to go get into the weeds right now, but I think we do have some feedback about maybe trying to hopefully in future years maybe the mini grants at administration we might be able to change that so that it isn't quite as big of a lift for the partner organization who would be administering those. Did I say that right, Marlo?
I can speak. Not like those.
I was beginning to smooth it out.
Yeah.
So the Art Center was the pass-through for that. It just to navigate receiving all of the inquiries that came to us and like soliciting all the materials we need to process those funds. It was, okay. I put a lot of time into it. I know Stacy did as well.
Okay.
So I wonder, like, at that $500 amount, the hours that we put into it, is it return? You know, like, what's that return on investment?
Oh, I'm so glad to know that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't know.
It's just our standard processes. So we have to have the contract and the W-9 and the, you know, the direct deposit and, you know.
That's, you know, it's ironic, yeah. But you'd think, in a way, it's like, can we just give them cash? You know? I mean, it's just not in a bureaucracy. You can't do that. There's all sorts of accountability. I respect that. I'm not being facetious, but there is a point where it's like, why is this so hard?
Well, one thought that we had was, like, it's such a small amount and it's very specific to equipment. Could they submit a receipt to the city? Like, can they purchase the equipment and it be reimbursable? Or is that a no-go?
Let me look into this.
Okay.
But no, glad to know that. Yeah, yeah. Apologies.
I have a comment on this, but the receipt, I love that idea, but a lot of artists don't have that income to begin with. And I feel like that would be hard on me if they were like, $500, buy it, give me the receipt, which happens, and I'm like, I can't, because that will put me negative.
No, I get that's this. Right.
That's but that's where my, I see what you're saying, the quickness, but like that $500 is a lot of money, you know? And so, like, if I was in that situation, which I have, and I say, I can't do it, and then they have to, you know, reevaluate.
Yeah.
Because it is a lot, especially if you're a working artist in whatever medium. So that's where my, that $500, like, if you had that already, you probably would have bought it and then just submit your receipt or whatever you were getting. And so that would be my question on just investigating that.
Let me work on that and see if there's a better way to do that. Thank you.
The other thought that we had is, like, could we gather, like, could the city have some portal for gathering the information? And then we're just, you know, W-9's ready to go. The I don't know, contract's ready.
We have a vendor portal, but that would be our system.
Gotcha.
Let me look into this. With a new finance director, I think that, you know, part of it was we had a lot of transition, so I didn't really have a good contact. But let me work on this. Great feedback. I appreciate it. And, you know, part of it is it was an experimental effort, and so we're learning.
Yeah, I feel like there's some room for improvement there. And, you know, like, Hearing that somebody's submitting a W-9 for a $500 grant when that's usually below the federal thresholds anyway.
Say that.
600.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just feel like there's room where we can smooth that for everybody.
Right.
For no more bang for the buck and still continue to be accountable.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Were all of those things given to them as a trickle out, or were they given to them like as a packet? Like, okay, we need this, 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 and this before we can give you your money. How was that?
I email them and say, this is what our agency needs. So Stacy's got a list of everything that we need. So I send the attachments, and then somebody forgets something, I got to follow up with them, and somebody
got it
on page two, that kind of stuff. So
got it. So the city can give money to individuals, but it's really challenging, and the preference is to either nonprofit, you know, agencies that are listed as businesses, that kind of thing. That's part of the challenge. It's just difficult for the city to give money directly to an individual.
Right.
So through your process, then we added another layer of bureaucracy. Think about frequently.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where that's going, because we aren't asking for anything from those artists, but I know they're contacting me going, where's my money?
Right.
And it's like, well, that's a process too.
Got it.
So it's all in there. And this was conveyed to them. You know, I did communicate with them, but not everybody reads everything. No, it's great. Thank you. Thanks.
All right, great. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see maybe a bounce back and forth finance folks. Maybe there's some options, so we got to work it out. Up next is Phoenix Awards, the subcommittee I'm not involved with. I do not know if there are any updates, so if there's any members of the Phoenix Awards subcommittee who want to share what's going on.
We had an RFQ from last time, and I don't know if anybody got to it. I actually printed. We're not in a rush, so I didn't know. I printed out the draft in case somebody wants to look at it, just to make sure it's amenable, either tonight or bring it back in May, and then we can do that. So if you guys want to do that, that would be great. We tabled it last time, and then I forgot to get out a reminder. I apologize for that. So,
all right. Well, so that seems pretty simple. I don't know if anybody has any thoughts now, but if not, I guess we can grab those on the way out. And we send a digital copy also.
I can email it to you all too. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, great. Well, the last committee update is the Public Art / ODSC / Annual Temporary Public Art Exhibition Subcommittee. I don't know. I don't think there's been that much motion there. Obviously, we're waiting to see how that stuff all shapes out. May 31st is the date for that. I don't know if anybody has any questions or comments. If not, hearing none, we're at miscellany. I feel like usually we get to miscellany and we're all exhausted, but I feel like this meeting has actually been relatively short. So if anybody has anything to share out about upcoming arts events that they want to plug, or that or recent things that they have attended or been involved with that they want to share, go ahead. I see Tim has something in his hands.
I do. So Friday night at Gallery 4621, which is located at Landmark National Bank, we're doing art opening for the next quarterly show, which is the Arts Guild All Members Show. Marciana's got a couple pieces in it.
Oh, cool.
The art's really good. They've been in the bank for the last 3 days, because it's kind of like herding cats, because it's every artist submits two pieces, and so the bank is just like overflowing with art, and it's all really good. The opening is from 5 to 7, but it'll probably go later because it's probably going to be really crowded Friday night. And so I've got cards if anybody wants any cards, but I would encourage you to come because I think it's probably our best opening of the year. Certainly our biggest.
This Friday?
It's this Friday. Yep. Perfect timing for this meeting.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah.
Thanks for the plug.
Yeah.
Saturday Art Center Auction is going on. Mm-hmm. Biggest charitable event of the year that we do. Our exhibition program is all three, and it really is because of this one evening that everyone comes out and buys art. So I agree with Tim. No bare walls. Just fill it with art.
Fill it up. It's also great to walk through the exhibition just to see there and salivate at all the possibilities.
Absolutely.
Does that stay up through...
After
basically
the auction night, it's all gone.
Yep.
People get their art and they take it home.
It is there during the whole process. Yeah. So
yes.
That exhibition stays up until it's gone, literally.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And then
we're seeing it's really this gray stuff in there.
It's wonderful work. And it's all price ranges. So sometimes people feel like art is inaccessible, but the prints are affordable and it's really there for everybody. And then it turns around to the early education and childhood show, which is by our preschoolers and kindergartners, and it's equally as impressive.
What were the times for those events, Marla?
The auction?
6. Live auction starts at 7:30.
Back.
So much fun.
And then after the preschool show, it should probably be the K-12 Lawrence Public Schools show,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is fantastic too. And that's like literally art from floor to ceiling.
Yeah.
Saturday, there's also the KU Culture Festival.
Yes.
Indigenous Cultures Festival, I should say. I think that's what they call it. All I know is I'll be there for grand entry at noon to dance with my kids.
It was a beautiful picture of you last year.
Thanks. Oh, yeah. The Lawrence Times is just sharing them. And my daughter's behind me. It's adorable.
Take
them. The best. Yeah. So there's a couple grand entries, but they also have Powwow 101 before that. They're raising the teepee at like 9 or 8 a.m. And they have all of these different events throughout the day happening that are educational in addition to the Powwow. Plus, there's fry bread, Indian tacos, arts that you can buy. I bought like 2 ribbon skirts last time, so lots of good stuff.
Great.
I did head over to the auction.
I will share that we opened the skate park renovation and addition this weekend. I had such a good time. It was just really great to see, and it was tons of skaters came out. We had roller skaters, we had kids on scooters, and you name it. What I loved was the skater culture, and really had a great talk with some of the young skaters and stuff about graffiti and things like that, and just recognizing that, you know, it's a very rich culture and it's about youth, but not just youth. It's a mixed bag of stuff, so it was really neat. If you haven't seen it, it really is very cool out there, and it's wonderful to watch these guys and kind of cringe every once in a while. Amazing what they do out there.
Sweet. All right. Well, that's great. I know. I definitely heard you saying, Porter, about the capacity for arts amongst that skateboarder community. I think talking more about putting art into some of the parks around town, proximity to skate parks makes a lot of sense. Well, it seems like that's it. It seems like we have a very busy Saturday with all of the stuff that's going on. But hearing none, if nobody else has any other things they'd like to plug or discuss, we can go ahead and I will look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you, Tim. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you, Brooke. We don't need to do a roll call vote for adjournment. It just happens. So thank you all for being here. Thank you for volunteering your time. Thank you, Porter. Thank you, Kurt, for your numerous moments of assistance throughout this meeting. And I will see you all next time, which is May 8th, 2024.
Thanks, Arsiana. Thanks, Jill. Bye. See y'all.